back, fans. This is Molly welcoming you back to Season 2 of Mysteries About True Histories. Get ready for more math, more history, and of course, more mysteries.
Good morning, class. Today we embark on the most exciting of subjects, the study of the bard.
Who or what's a bard?
Mr. William Shakespeare. I can feel your excitement.
I like this guy. He's funny.
We will be reading Much Ado About Nothing, a comedy of errors in which the rumor mill, misinformation, and misunderstandings lead to typical rom-com type shenanigans, antics, and hilarity before the inevitable happy ending. I hear murmuring. Raise your hand if you're excited. I see one hand raised. Molly, why are you so excited to read Much Ado About Nothing?
Because it's a fun, classic story with a formula that will be copied and repeated for hundreds of years to come in plays, books, and movies.
Excellent. But don't worry. If this is too happy for the rest of you, for the next semester we'll study Othello, a play in which the rumor mill, misinformation, and misunderstanding lead to murder and despair. So be careful what you share.
And who you share it with.
Well said, Molly. Well said.
Ugh, but Shakespeare uses so many words. Big ones, little ones, ones I've never even heard of. So many words to say one simple thing.
Yes, Max, that's the thing about English class. There are lots of words. But it's not just the words. It's how he arranges them. Do the words iambic pentameter mean anything to you?
Should they?
Iambic. A poetic sort of meter using iambs. One unstressed and one stressed syllable. And pentameter for penta, five. Like pentagon, 5 meters or 10 total syllables. It's like percussion, but for words.
Did everybody get that? This is the structure in which Shakespeare writes this particular play.
Wow. You are in rare show-off mode today.
What can I say? It's poetic. I dig it.
Hopefully I can understand it. I mean, it does sound pretty cool the way Mr. A described it.
Not to mention, we can probably learn a lot from this. After all, information and misinformation can be dangerous.
How so?
Because bad actors could be using the information they share for nefarious purposes.
Ooh, like the mole.
Achoo!
Bless you, Molly.
Thanks.
I gotta say, Molly, it's only the first week of school, but I'm pretty sure you have the teacher's pet award locked up.
Har har. Actually, Max, I'm trying to figure out whether Mr. A is a mole or just an eccentric teacher.
Oh, I see. So you want to lead him on so maybe he'll give himself away?
Yes, but instead you almost gave us away.
You're right. We really do have to be careful who hears us.
Ooh, is there some gossip I need to know about? I love gossip.
No, Charlene, no gossip.
Yep, just chatting about homework. You know, boring stuff.
Much ado about nothing. Get it? Shakespeare?
I see. But I certainly wouldn't consider Shakespeare boring. After all, I think it's wild how spreading a little bit of misinformation can cause all kinds of problems. Gotta run. Stay out of trouble, you two.
Oh, wow.
Stay out of trouble? I think this girl might be trouble.
Do you think she's a mole?
Aunt Em?
Aunt Murgatroyd! You gotta stop sneaking up on us like this. I'm gonna have a heart attack.
Conditional problem solvers must be ready for anything at any time. This keeps you on your toes. Also, I packed you a lunch.
You packed us lunch? Thank you.
Samosas! Yum! You rock, Aunt Em.
Do me a favor. Don't eat them now. You have some traveling to do.
I see three bags. Are we supposed to split one?
No. One of them is for Mahatma Gandhi.
Oh.
I guess we won't be dining in the cafeteria.
No, you'll be dining in prison.
What?
Excuse me?
Gandhi is currently in prison. Well, in 1930, in prison, in India. He's famous for his hunger strikes, one of many means of passive resistance.
Wait, we're sneaking him food?
Sort of. Gandhi will explain everything when you get there. He's an excellent problem solver. I better get going before your lunch gets cold.
Yikes. This place is hardcore.
Yeah, not that I ever imagined prison could be good, but this is really, really bad.
Oh, hello. You must be Max and Molly.
Hi there. Yes, Aunt Murgatroyd sent us.
She also sent lunch.
Oh, goody goody. I'm starving. What an extraordinary problem solver she is. You really are learning from the best.
All right, Mr. Gandhi. I guess we're here to break you out of here.
Here's what I'm thinking. This steel door is 36 inches wide by 60 inches high. Oh, but how thick?
4 inches.
4 inches? Wow, they really want to keep this place secure.
Yeah, most prisons do.
Okay, so 4 inches times 36 inches equals 144 inches times 60 is,
8,640.
Whoa! You're a leader and a human calculator?
What can I say? I'm a man of many talents.
Okay, so 8,640 cubic inches of steel. Next, we need to figure out the weight.
I believe 1 cubic inch of steel weighs about 0.283 pounds.
How could you possibly know that?
I do a lot of reading in here.
Okay, so 0.283 times 8,640. Gandhi, you got that one?
No.
It's okay. I've got my calculator. 2,445.12 pounds. Ugh, that's heavy.
Being in prison is heavy, but in a different way.
Hang on. 2,445.12 pounds?
That's like the size of an American bison.
How do you know that?
It's amazing what I do and don't know.
Could you guys just, like, chill for a second?
Sorry.
Okay. The door is on a hinge, so really the hinges are holding up most of the weight of the door. And the door's just a lever.
One of the 6 simple machines.
Yes, assuming the door's unlocked.
Which, obviously, it's not.
I'm just trying to talk this through. If it was unlocked, you are just applying torque, or the twisting force that rotates the door, on its hinges. The hinges here are the main variable.
The average guesstimate.
As in guessing estimate?
Precisely. The guesstimate for the force required to open a door is often the weight of the door divided by 2.
2,445.12 divided by 2 equals 1,222.56? Wow, that's over 1,000 pounds of pressure just to open that door. And we'd have to overcome the actual friction of the hinges. Are they old?
Yes.
And rusty?
Of course.
Have they been oiled recently?
What do you think?
I'm going with no.
So there's a fair amount of friction.
Are you also forgetting? It's locked. The door is locked.
Okay, fine. Next question. Can we apply enough force to break the door off its hinges?
Ooh, now we're talking. If Lord of the Rings, or any fantasy battle film, or heist movie really, is to be believed, the most effective place to strike a secure door is at a point of contact with the frame. Now, the latch side is most likely reinforced, but for some reason, hinges rarely are, and these hinges seem to be fixed to a wood frame.
The people doing the building rarely consult with the people using a building for its most effective purpose. Usually something like that would irk me, but in this case, it brings me joy.
What if we run real fast at the door and impact it close to the hinges?
If any comedy movie ever is to be believed, I'd say running at a door full speed always ends badly.
What if all three of us ran at the door?
You mean the steel door? That would require enormous momentum, which could probably be calculated as pounds per feet per second. The three of us together probably weigh about 350 pounds at most.
I've lost a few pounds doing hunger strikes.
Okay, make it 300 pounds. Mass times velocity gives us our momentum. I can run about 5 miles per hour.
I'm probably close to that too.
If we convert that to feet per second, that's 7.33 feet per second. Our combined mass of 300 pounds multiplied by our speedy velocity of 7.33 feet per second means we'd be hitting the door with about 2,200 pounds per foot per second.
You mean the locked door that weighs as much as an American bison?
Yeah, that one.
I don't know, Maul. That's still pretty good. Almost equal the weight of the door. I say we try it.
No. Almost making up the weight of the door is definitely not going to be enough to bend the hinges or break them off their frame.
This jailbreak is turning out to be very disappointing.
What jailbreak? I'm not leaving.
What?
Excuse me?
I'm not leaving. It's actually helpful for me to stay in prison. For the cause of an independent India. We've been ruled for many years by the British, and we no longer wish to be a British colony. Frankly, we never wanted to be a British colony.
But isn't it easier to fight injustice from outside the prison?
You'd think so, but as a non-violent leader, it looks pretty bad for my opponents to hold me here for very long. By understanding the diversity of Indian citizens and giving my respect to all of them, I have gained their respect, and thus become very popular.
But not in a lots of followers on TikTok kind of way.
Oh, wow.
You must remember, this is not about me, it's about India. All we want is freedom and respect, and the right to rule ourselves. By using nonviolent protest, I am able to unite the people to a common cause.
Civil disobedience. That comes up a lot throughout history.
Yes, because it's nonviolent and it works. We simply refuse to cooperate with injustice.
So you rally the people to labor strikes, spending strikes, marches, sit-ins, and fasting, aka not eating, to get your point across.
And stir up publicity.
Yes, we are gaining the notice and support of the world.
I see. And being in prison shines more light on you and the movement.
So, if we're not supposed to break you out of prison, why are we here?
Well, for one thing, to bring me lunch. But more, so I can share some wisdom with you so you can better know your enemy. The Pogs are Progress Obstructing Group.
Ah, I was wondering what Pogs stood for.
What's their deal, Mr. Gandhi?
They have been and are intent on infiltrating, seizing, and maintaining control of any lands, cultures, or peoples they don't understand.
I see. And they use their moles to do their infiltrating.
Smart boy, yes.
And since their moles are really good at blending in, they can be anyone and sneak into anywhere.
Smarty girl, yes. You must understand, the Pogs have been at this game a long time, all over the world. They're going to be very difficult to defeat. But remember, you too have allies all over the world and throughout time. I believe it can be done, but it's going to take caution, vigilance, and non-violence.
Well, I don't like the idea of leaving you in prison, but I really don't like the idea of staying here, with you, in prison.
Are you sure you want to stay?
I'm sure.
Okay, bye.
No, bye for now.
Still time to get to class.
I feel weird leaving Gandhi in prison. But we do know how it turns out, and it has a mostly happy ending for India.
Not so much for Gandhi, but that comes later.
And while it doesn't seem like we solved anything, I feel a lot better about our overall chances of beating the Pogs together.
And now I know how to calculate the force I need to break down a locked door. I can't wait to try a few at home.
What? Max, no!
Fine, but I just know at some point our door-breaking formula is going to come in handy.
Maybe. But more importantly, we need to develop a mole-spotting formula. Because, as we just learned, they're all around us.
Yep. It can be someone we least expect.
Welcome, Max and Molly. Glad you two could make it to class.
Or someone we most suspect. This episode of Mysteries About True Histories was written by Libby Ward and voiced by Dexter Danger Mayo, Molly Smith, Sheila Morris, Rain Morris, Jonathan Regeer, and Chris Okawa. Original music by Brian Suarez. Our associate producer is Max Kamaski. Technical direction and sound design by Josh Hahn. Mysteries About True Histories was created and produced by Adam Tex Davis and Jerry Kolber and is an Atomic Audio production.